and it states the following, Matthew 5:29. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. If you don't mind, you can shake about 3 people hands today and say, you need to cut it.
You
need to cut it. Go ahead. I need you to cut it real quick. Your flesh is way too high. You need to cut it. Yeah, that's where we're going today. You need to cut it. That was a rapper named OT Genesis, who hit the national spotlight back in 2015 and 16. He had a song that people might have heard it called, I'm in Love with the Coco, which was crazy to me. He literally made a serenade to cocaine, talking about how much he loved it and how much he professed it and all these things. And the music video, they was cooking crack in the video and all that. But I personally think that's like the stupidest thing ever. Because if I'm doing that, I'm not going to make a music video and show the people what I'm doing. That's snitching on yourself. I thought there was no snitching in the streets. That's like a man being on calling cheaters himself and say, I'm going to be here. Come and record me. And when you're done, go show the video to my girl because I want to get caught. That just doesn't make any sense. So this whole new era is crazy. So then he came back with another song where I just played a snippet of it. It's called You Need to Cut It. And he's talking about people in their drug prices. If you're going to make a profit in the drug game, then you need to cut it. He's going back and forth, and he's like, if you want to be make a profit, you need to cut it. And I say this because I'm an advocate for preaching about hip-hop, because I've been raised in hip-hop. And you got YouTube, you got SoundCloud, you got Spotify, you got all these things. And other kids in school, you got to be careful for our children. They're slanging crack to minors. When they can listen to a song and know how to cook up and cut up drugs, that's a problem. So us as parents, we have to be cognizant of what our children are listening. But back to the story at hand, as we close out 2018 and get to walk out in 2019, your flesh is way too high. You need to cut it. It's some stuff that God wants to give you, but some stuff in us we got to cut. It's some relationships that are no good for you. And to get what God has for you, you got to cut ties with that relationship. It's some friendships that are no good, that are damaging friendships. They are harming. They're not no good for you. Y'all been friends forever. I know that's your homie, your road dog. But truth be told, you always in some drama when you around them. You always in some trouble. Nothing goes as planned as it should be. You need to cut it. There's some loose ends in our life that we are dealing with, and we need to cut it. And the thing about it is, when I think about a puppet is controlled by what? It's strings. And the reason the enemy is tossing us every which way to and fro, because we like puppets and we won't cut our strings. We can't be free. The God is trying to get you to be free. And we're like puppets. The enemy's going this way and that way, doing this and doing that. Why? Because we ain't cutting nothing off of us. So we got to get to the point that we got to cut it in our lives. So how did we get to this? Why did Jesus even say this? So if you know me, I got to give you a little pretext before I jump into the context. And this is what's called the Sermon on the Mount. This is the greatest sermon ever preached. I don't care what nobody says, because it's Jesus talking. It's in Matthew 5-7. Please read it. Jesus is talking about all kind of things. So prior to this, right before chapter 5, what happens? Jesus gets baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. So Jesus gets baptized. The Holy Spirit comes, ascends on him like a dove. God speaks to him. So then the Holy Spirit leads him to go into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. So in the midst, when he's done his fast, remember, the wilderness is not forests and trees. He's in Israel. The wilderness is a desert. It's hot. It's dry. So he goes into the wilderness to fast. The devil comes and tempts him to eat some bread. He says, turn these breads to stone. If you're the Son of God, turn this bread into stones. And we look at that like, wow. I love that, because Jesus had a need. He had something. He was hungry. He had 80, 40 days. And he had the power to turn bread into stone. He didn't do it. We know we would have turned into honey. We would have turned into honey bread and sweet rolls and everything else if it was up. We would have ate, make sure we ate. But Jesus didn't do it. But then he had him go to the top of the temple and say, jump off the temple. He tried to trick him with the word of God. Be careful, because the devil knows the word of God too. He tried to trick him. He said, God won't let his He won't let his son be hurt. He won't let your foot dash against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord the God. So Jesus combated the enemy with the word. That's why it's important. I've been pushing you all that we have to get into our word and pray. You can't combat the enemy with just prayer alone. It's a combination. It's power in prayer and the word. And then he goes up and says, look here, the devil said, I'm going to offer you all the kingdoms in the world. I will give you anything you want if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, again, I rebuke you. Get away from me, Satan. It is written, you shall only worship God. And it trips me out because if the devil would offer Jesus everything, why would he offer those who were made in God's image?
Yeah.
We get a trip. We see people with power and prestige. And a lot of us want that at times, but you don't know the price they paid. Because Jesus said, what profits a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Yeah, so he didn't want it all. Jesus said, nah. So in that instant, Jesus defeated the enemy. And I love this. It leads me to one of my favorite scriptures. Check this out. Hebrews 4 and 14 says this. Seeing that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. I mean, shout, shout. The high priest is Jesus. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin.
Yes.
So Jesus is so awesome because why? He got to have the human experience. He was tempted in every way, but he didn't fall like us. Then it says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, yes, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Okay. So since Jesus did what he did, he never sinned, he beat temptation and beat the devil, that means I can come boldly to God's throne.
Yes.
You know what it means to be bold? That means to say, I know God got my back. I know I'm not losing this battle. I get to come boldly to the... Think about this. I get to come boldly to the creator of the universe. I get to come boldly to the Father. I get to come in his presence and have confidence.
Yes.
When you were a kid, you don't think nobody can whoop your daddy. You nobody whooping my daddy. I don't care who you are. That's my daddy. Well, guess what? God is our daddy. And ain't nobody whooping him. So he's saying because of Jesus and what he did, I can come boldly. You got the power to come boldly to obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. Jesus did that work on the cross. So check this out. Chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount teaches us about the Beatitudes. And I taught about this in Bible study. The Beatitudes. What are the Beatitudes? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the merciful, because they will obtain mercy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I could take a whole sermon just to talk about two of those, because it's so good. It's so much meat in that. But Jesus is telling us how to be blessed. So the Sermon on the Mount goes off with some powerful stuff at the beginning. And then we jump in Matthew chapter 5 right here. We're going to jump to verse 21. Look at what Jesus says. And I got the red letters up there because Jesus is in the red letters in the Bible. It's like, man, so you know what he said if you've ever seen the red letters. It says, you have heard that it said of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. But whosoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of counsel. But whoever says, you fool, should be in danger of hellfire. Woo! Some strong words right there. Jesus tells them what they heard, and then he goes to expound on the law. Yeah. So why would Jesus say that if you were angry and called somebody a fool, you in danger of hellfire? Are they handing out life sentences because you're angry? Do people get life in jail because they're angry? They don't get that because they're angry, right? So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is suggesting that our verbal abuse stems from the same place of our sinful motives of anger and hatred.
Wow.
That if we're going to eventually murder somebody, we was at first angry. If we're going to eventually murder somebody, we first hated him. So Jesus is saying we got to deal with the whole point of it, that it comes from a certain place, that you're dealing with this angry and this anger and this hatred. So what is Jesus trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that God's law has a standard, but it's deeper than you think. Yeah, it's deeper than just thinking that not doing it. I'm going to prove it to you here in a second. So we're going to jaywalk over to chapter 15 real quick. Matthew 15, we're going to jaywalk over there real quick. Let's look at what he said. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. They say, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered them and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? For your commandments say, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother should be put to death. Check this out. But you say, Whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandments of God no effect by your tradition. Look at that in verse 5. Jesus says, but you say. Yeah, y'all missed that right there. They said something, but Jesus said, but you say. I know the word of God, but you say. This is why I love Jesus, because he'll never disrespect you, but he will check you. I love Jesus for that. Yeah, he won't disrespect you and come out crazy, but he will check you in a minute when it comes to his father's business. Look at it. Jesus doesn't water down the word of God. But you say. That's how we sound today. But you say. Not what the word says, but you say. Yeah, yeah. God is giving his word and giving us what to do, but we like to put our own spin on things, don't we? Yeah, we like remixes and all that, don't we? Yeah, we like our own version of things. We want our own version of the Bible. We want our George version, our Tyrone version, whatever the case may be, but no. See, the commandments were clear what Jesus said, but our sinful nature wants us to circumvent. It wants us to sidestep them. It wants us to bypass them. Check this out. What Jesus was saying to them is, check this out. Y'all worried about traditions, but y'all supposed to honor y'all mother and father, but y'all don't do it. Because when your parents need financial assistance, y'all don't want to give it because you say, I got to give a certain amount of my money to God. So if I got to give a certain amount of money to God, God's more important than my parents. I really can't help you. I got to give it to God. So the rabbis at that time said, you know what, that kind of makes sense. So we're going to make a little excerpt on the law. We're going to give you a pass on that. You ain't got to give to your parents if you're going to give that to God. We quick to change the word of God to fit our agenda. Yeah, they've been doing that since the first century. Ain't nothing new. They've been changing the word of God to fit our own personal agenda. But when we do that, the effects of the word of God become nullified. They become watered down. You ever had a drink and let ice sit in it all day? What happens to that drink? It's not the original product no more, is it? Do you want it? No, because it doesn't have the same effect. Same thing with the word of God. When we put our own spin on it, our own remix, and what makes us happy, it won't have the effect that it should have. It won't have the power that God designed it to have. Amen? So look at this. Then Jesus drops this. Hypocrites. Ooh, that's a strong word right there. Exclamation point. Hypocrites. What did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying this? That people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men. Ooh, Jesus talking to the church folk. Yeah, he's talking to the religious teachers of that day. He's talking to those that should know God. And what does he do? He calls them hypocrites. We can't stand when nobody calls us fake. Ooh, that's fighting words right there. Who fake? Who fake? I don't let nobody call you. They call you whatever, but fake? Nah, we ain't trying to hear that. We don't want to hear nothing about fake. Nah. But check this out. He called them fake not because they got issues, because we all got issues. He didn't call them fake because they got some sin issues in their lives. No, he called them fake because all they offering God is lip service. Ooh. You ever been in a romantic relationship and you thought it was this and one thing and came to find out everything they said was a lie? Jesus. Now, when that happened, how did you feel? You felt betrayed. You felt hurt. And no matter what your lips said, your heart didn't mean it. So why do we think God ain't different? No matter what our lips say, we want to get, sorry, I got to clap. Sorry, it's all good. No matter what our lips say, I know I'm pricking and prying today, baby. It's all good. No matter what our lips say, if our hearts are far from it, it ain't real. See, Jesus says, in vain they worship me. That's why my job as a pastor is to teach the word of God, to teach you about prayer, to make sure you're not coming to church every Sunday, not going to Bible study every week, not coming every week, just giving God lip service, and he ain't got your heart. I refuse to have anybody go to hell through the church bus. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to get me 3-4 strippers. I'm going to get some crack. I'm going to get some weed. I'm going to get some liquor. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I'm not going to hell through the church bus. So God doesn't want you in service apart from a heart that's full of worship. Amen. All right, let's look at what Jesus is saying to them. Check this out. Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting to where all these issues is coming from. What comes out of the heart defiles a man. So Jesus gives his disciples a parable. He tries to explain. So Jesus taught a lot in parables, which are little stories. He tried to teach them a parable, but they still didn't get it. They didn't understand it. So they said, Jesus, what do you mean what comes out of a mouth defiles the man? What comes out of the heart defiles the man, not what goes in. Jesus is talking about our heart because he wants us to know our heart does more than beat and keep us alive.
Yeah.
It controls our will and our emotions.
That's good.
Yeah, our hearts do something. Check this out, what Jesus said. Just they didn't get them. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. I know that's bothering my wife. She's a germaphobe. But they didn't wash their hands. And they wanted to make a big deal about them not washing their hands. They said, you know what? Y'all not washing your hands. Why are y'all breaking God's traditions? And Jesus said, y'all more worried about them washing their hands than their heart is jacked up?
That's good. That's good.
What makes you think I care about their hands if their heart ain't with me? And they supposed to know me and love me. Look at this. Pastor is not against us taking care of our physical bodies. We only get one.
That's it.
So I say exercise, eat right, do whatever you can, the best of your ability. Do all those things because you only get one body. You only get one shot. Take care of your body. But you shouldn't be more concerned about your physical appearance than your internal, which is your heart.
Yeah, that's good.
Look what flows out of the heart. Look what he said. Evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. It's one heck of a list, ain't it? Woo! That's a mean list. And look at it. All those things he lists do three things. They hurt us.
Yeah.
They hurt people. And it hurt God.
Wow.
But it all come out of our heart. If we don't put God in his proper position as Lord of our lives, if we don't make him the vocal point of our lives, then our heart will deceive us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite scriptures said that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Mm-hmm. Who can know it but the Lord? Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Your own hearts trick you because our hearts want to believe something when we know it ain't true. Our hearts take us somewhere we know we ain't supposed to be there. But we expect it to be different. It's going to be a different effect, a different experience. And now we mad, we heartbreaking, we hurt. And all these issues have came. And our own hearts tricked us. Nobody else.
Yeah,
you better preach.
That's it.
So your own heart will deceive you.
Amen.
Check this out. So now we're going back to Matthew chapter 5. And we're looking at you. Look at what Jesus says. You have heard that it was said of to those of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Look at Jesus, boy. Jesus dropping bombs on them. They wasn't ready for that teaching. They wasn't ready for it. Jesus dropped some bomb on our human reasoning because we think we understand what God's law is. Jesus had to come to set the record straight. We felt as long as we didn't act on it, everything is good.
Yeah.
As long as I didn't do it, anyone might have thought about it. If I didn't do it, it's cool. I didn't do it. But see, we got to know that God is holy and righteous. He just don't look at the act. He look at your motives.
Because
can't nobody see our motives but God. But how does he see those motives? By his ability to look at our hearts. So check this out. Jesus let us know that if we look at a woman lustfully, we have already committed adultery with her in her heart. Woo! Again, Jesus is pointing to the heart as the main center of the issue. Before I act upon something in a physical form, I've already decided to do it in my heart.
Yeah.
My heart has already gravitated towards it before I actually did it. So if the heart goes there, it's going to lead me to go talk to her. If my heart goes there, it's going to lead me to lie to my spouse. If my heart goes there, it's going to leave me in her bed. I need some help here from somebody. If my heart goes there first, it's going to leave me there. So Jesus is telling us men and women too, don't get it twisted, but don't stare your way into sin.
Right.
To look at a woman and lust after your heart, don't stare your way into sin. Watch your eye gates. Because you will look at something too long and do something too wrong. Amen. You better get your eye gates together and don't stare our way into sin. Check this out. Then Jesus drops this. Now we get into the meat of this thing. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it out from you. For it is more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body be cast into hell. Woo! Man, that's deep. This text will be an example of why I say I take every word of the Bible seriously, but I don't take it literally.
Yeah.
I take every word seriously, but I don't take it literally. Does Jesus really want you to pluck out your eye? Don't be that Christian. I'm gonna follow the word of God. You gonna take your eye out? Don't be that. Use some thinking, use some reasoning. God bless you with a brain, a little bit of common sense. So I don't take everything literally, but I do take it seriously. So Jesus is saying, pluck out your eye. Jesus gives this very graphic yet serious illustration of what we must do in our fight against sin. Mm-hmm. That is that serious, that there is something we have done, check this out, in our life maybe only once or twice. I've only did this once or twice. Maybe I liked it, maybe I didn't. You know what I'm saying? Maybe peer pressure led me into doing this. I've only did it once or twice. And it's not really no issue. It don't have no stronghold on me. I tried it. I didn't like it. I ain't doing it no more. It was a mistake. See, we see it today. It comes in front of us. We don't give it any thought. We just walk past that temptation. It doesn't bother us at all. But we are all wired differently. So when you look at our generational curses that have been passed down through bloodlines, all of us got some issues. Maybe it's womenizing. Maybe it's alcoholics. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's violence. All these things have been passed down to us through our bloodline. And then you got to add to the experience of how you was raised, by who and how were you raised, mama and daddy issues, all these other issues come to formulate you. You got your granddaddy, great-great-granddaddy stuff, and you got your own stuff you're dealing with. So all this stuff comes in us, and it gets to affecting our heart. So now we find ourselves drawn to certain sins. Certain things that bother you don't bother me. Certain things that bother me don't bother you. But some bother everybody. Amen. So we got to get to a place. So God is trying to let us know that the heart is this. And I love this when I read it earlier in Hebrews, because Jesus felt that strain when he was tempted by the devil. He had human flesh, y'all. He was, don't get it twisted. He was 100% God, 100% man, which means when the devil tempts him, it wasn't, I'm God. Back up. I don't want to hear this. No. He had to deal with sin and temptation like everybody else, but because of his relationship with the Father, he was strong enough to withstand it. And to give us that example, amen. So I'm going to say this for you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to let you breathe for a second. Sin feels good. You can get that out. Go ahead, put it out. Sin feels good, yes. Because if it felt bad, who would want to do it? So we can be truthful. We know that sin feels good. When people try to get healthy, they want you to eat all these vegetables and all that. And the vegetables don't taste as good as steak. The vegetables don't taste as good as the pork chops and all that stuff. What's good for you ain't always good to you. But it's profitable. So sin feels good. That's why the devil tempts us with it. But sin is designed to take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to be kept. That's what this trick of the enemy is, to take you farther than you want to go. You wanted to quit, but now you realize you can't. You wanted to get past it. Now it's like, I can't. I'm stuck in this cycle. What is going on? It has kept me longer here. And as you know, I'm 20, 30, 40, 50, still dealing with stuff maybe from my teens. Why am I stuck here? So we got to get to a place where I can't let feelings diminish my faithfulness.
That's good.
I can't let a feeling distract my faithfulness to God. I got to be faithful to God over my feelings. Why? Because when you in your feelings, you're going to do what you want to do. Feelings is a trip, y'all. I've been trying to get on my health kit with Lady Thomas. She's been pushing me. She's been on her grind, and I've been chilling. I want to, but I ain't feeling it. I want to do it, but I ain't feeling it. And what trips me out is that if I continue to live life in my feelings, I won't get nothing done. Because if I'm going to get to a place, I got to do it whether I feel like it or not. Because when I was starting this church, it didn't matter if I felt like it or not. I was up writing, I was designing, I was doing this and putting plans together and thoughts. I didn't care about my feelings. So when we're going to get to God's purpose in our life, you got to get past your feelings and get to being faithful. Amen.
Amen.
So check this out. We're dealing with the heart. We all know what that is right there, right? Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I ain't talking about Charlie and that old bootleg thing. No, when we in school, we had to watch Willy. We wasn't watching Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. These new kids get to watch. We watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and we enjoyed it. But it's a trip. God put this movie in my spirit. Why? Because the children all had a desire in their heart. They all wanted to do something, but they didn't count the price that it would cost. Yeah, yeah. Y'all remember the first boy, the big boy. Y'all might see him back there. The big boy who loved chocolate from Germany. And he loved chocolate. He said, don't touch that chocolate. It ain't ready yet for human hands. He been there scooping up the chocolate. What happened? He fell in the river. Then he got took up in a big old tube and had to go somewhere. It looked like he was going to die. His mom was petrified, but he did opposite of what Willie told him to do. Then there was another girl that loved gum. She just chewed gum. And he had created this gum that had a 3-course meal, but he told him it's not quite ready yet. Don't touch that gum. And what did the girl do? She ate the gum anyway. And we know what happened. She turned to this big old blueberry, all crazy and scared. How you going to juice out my daughter now? We got to go squeeze her and get her juiced out. Again, she did what she wanted to do. Another girl who wanted the goose with a golden egg, and she went on a big tangent and crying, throwing a temper tantrum. You're going to give me this. You're going to give me that. I'm going to get this. The daddy trying to comfort the little girl. I'm going to get it for you. I'm going to get it for you. And what happens? She becomes a rotten egg and goes down to a place where they're burning the rotten eggs because she wanted it so bad. And the other little boy wanted to be on TV so bad, and they told him, don't touch the thing. He went to the thing. What happened? He shrunk real small, his heart desired, like he wanted to be on TV so bad, but Willie said, don't touch it, and they did it anyway. Even Charlie and his grandpa Joe, they decided to drink that root beer, and they got to floating up to the top. Y'all remember that? They got to floating up to the top, and then they almost got shredded because they drunk the root beer when he said, don't drink it. So don't miss this. They were all inside Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. That means what? He created it, he designed it, and he knew it better than anyone else.
Yeah.
He gave them specific instructions of what to do and what not to do. And each one of those scenarios ended up bad because what? They tried to do it their own way.
Yeah.
He knew the products and he wasn't being mean to you. He didn't want you to have the products, not because he was being mean, because they wasn't ready and he didn't want to put you in harm's way. I need somebody at church with me.
Yeah.
Just for a second.
Yeah.
We have a God who created this earth.
Yeah.
Who designed it, made it, and knows everything about us. We have a God who created us, and not we ourselves. And God has a purpose and a plan for us. He knows what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. So if he's keeping something back from you, he's not being mean. He's keeping you protected. He know the outcome if you go the wrong way. He know the outcome if you choose this and not that. He knows the outcome. So instead of getting mad at his instructions and thinking God don't want me to have no fun, no, God wants to guard you. Maybe I can give you a picture to help you out. God wants to guard you.
What?
As we see, that's God's commands. And he says, well, I'm tired of being confined by this. I'm tired of God guarding me. I'm tired of God doing this. And what does the man do? He says, it's not a fence. He jumps off. It's a guardrail. You know what a guardrail job is? A guardrail is something set up on our streets that it's not actually in the line of danger.
Yeah.
But it's right there with enough room. If you make a mistake, you got enough room to get back over.
Yeah.
God's word is designed as a guardrail. That if I get too close to the edge, I got something to protect me. That if I bump into it, I got enough to straighten myself out. But if I decide to ignore the guardrail, I might crash into a cliff. I might lose my life. God loves you. God cares for you. He's not doing stuff to be mean. He's doing stuff to protect you and to keep you.
That's good.
So God loves us, y'all.
Thank you, Lord.
God cares for us. Check this out. I'm going to read that. It might be a little small, but it trips me out because Jesus says this in two chapters in Matthew 5 and 18. Jesus gives us two scenarios about your eye causing you to sin, pluck it out. And if your hand causes you to sin, then cut it off. But in Matthew 18, he says something a little different. Just one word. He says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet than to be cast in everlasting fire. It's the only difference in those scriptures. But I think it's worth repeating, because if Jesus says something twice in the Bible,
it means something.
If he took his time out to repeat it,
yeah,
he's trying to warn us about something. So he says, check this out. We all have children, correct? Not all of us, but a lot of us have children. I almost said, oh, sorry. But a lot of us have children. And do they do what we say do the first time?
Help us, Lord.
The first time they ever do what we say do. They don't really do it. They don't even sometimes understand it, or they can't even comprehend what we ask them to do. Or sometimes they just flat out forget. I just told you 2 minutes ago to pick that up.
Yeah.
You don't remember me telling you that? Nope. Yeah, we got some parents in the house, amen. So there is no doubt, even I will repeat certain things, not to call you children, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying this, that when we hear something the first time, we don't always get it. Sometimes stuff got to be repeated to us and repeated to, even in our adult age, some certain things people said to us, our parents said to us, we didn't get until 10, 15 years later. And look, and wish we would have listened, amen. Praise God. So if something's in there twice, it is worth repeating. Jesus comes with this saying and he has to say this. So he's saying, check this out. No matter who we are, you, me, we, us. That's everybody, amen. You, me, we, us have some areas in our life that we got to cut the devil off from.
That's it.
Because if we don't, he's going to have his way with us. We'll be in church every Sunday, but living a different life Monday through Saturday. We'll be in every prayer meeting, every Bible study. And don't get it twisted, because deliverance and salvation is an instant, but sanctification is a process. It's a process of eliminating things out of you. It's a process. Don't get it. I'm not trying to say holy roll. It's not what I'm saying. You got to be real. It's a process. God has to work on you and deal with you, but you got to go through the process. You don't want to become numb to the process and you showing up and not letting God show what's in your heart and reveal it to you. Amen? So it's better to struggle on earth, is what Jesus is saying, and defeat that temptation than busting hell wide open with your body intact.
Oh, wow. That's good.
It's better to enter in heaven with my eye missing, my hand and my foot. That means it's better to struggle on earth and defeat this thing than I get to my death date. And I feel like I live my best life, but now I'm eternally separated from God. This is the last thing, and I'm getting ready to shut this thing down. Check this out. This is a movie called 127 Hours. Anybody seen this movie? 127 Hours. A man goes hiking in the mountains, and he's having the time of his life. I mean, he's rolling. He's doing his thing on his bike. He's taking pictures. He's riding around doing everything he wants to do. Then he gets to a part of a cliff that he needs to cross. And so he can't really cross it with his bike and everything, so he finds a rock. Go ahead and get rid of his bike. He finds a rock big enough to go between the holes so he can come across it. So he feels on a rock and put a little weight on it and says, okay, yeah, I can probably get across this rock. And as he begins to walk across the rock gives out. He falls 20-something feet down this cliff. And not only does he fall, but his hand is smashed underneath the rock. So check, the thing he trusted to hold him up ended up falling down on him. That might hit you next week. The thing he trusted to hold him ended up being the thing to let him down. Yeah. The rock represents drugs, alcohol, porn, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, things that we have put in God's place and expect to hold us up. And they end up falling and letting us down every time. So it's safe to say this man is between a rock and a hard place. And then I mentioned this is a true story too. So he needs to get free. He falls down. He's trying to move. His hand is smashed. He's digging through his pockets. He finds a dull pocket knife. So he begins to try to chisel this rock down. All he has is a half bottle of water and very little food. It's not a good situation. So he's trying to survive, but this rock is weighing him down. He can't get free from this rock. And then my brother had an epiphany. He said this, if I don't get free from this rock, I'm going to die. 127 hours have passed. That is 5 days and 4 hours. This man is in a cave with his hand smashed and he can't get out. He had to make some decisions because the chance of someone finding him is very unlikely. He's in a whole canyon in southwest Utah, 20 feet underneath a cliff. Nobody is coming. It's a small cave, barely enough room for his body. So then the Bible declares to us, check this out, he's by himself. He has to get free. And what does the Bible say when we're by ourselves? That you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. You got to work out your own salvation. There'll come a point in time in your life. Well, mama ain't there. There'll come a point in time when daddy can't help you. A point in time when the person you go to bed with can't help you. It's just going to be you and Jesus. So you got to learn to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he's sitting there, he's on his last leg, water's gone, food's gone. He remembers, I have this dog pocket knife. And as much as I want to leave this cave with both of my hands, I'd rather be alive with one good hand than dead with two.
Amen.
Yeah, I ain't trying to have church with me today. I'd rather be alive with one good hand than dead with two. So this brother takes this dull pocket knife and begins to saw his hand that's underneath the rock. He cuts and saws and cuts and saws with a dull knife. Cuts it until his hand falls off and the rock falls down. And then he climbs his way to safety. What am I saying? I'm saying that if God has put some stuff in your life, God is trying to help you, and you got two good hands, but one of them hands is bad, one of them eyes is bad, one of them feet is bad, and God's trying to get you to a place, and the only way you're going to experience freedom is you cut something off and live. That means you got to cut it off. What I do to me, I got to cut off friendships, I got to cut off relationships, I got to cut off my heart, I got to cut some stuff out of my life, because if I don't cut it off, I'm not going to live. This man climbed his way to the top with one hand. And is alive today and wrote a book called Between the Rock and the Hard Place. But the only reason he's alive because he cut off what was holding him down. So what are we going to do today, church? Things are holding us down. We've been weighted by our own issues, by society, by mama them problems, daddy them problems, our upbringing. All this stuff has been weighing us down. And God offers freedom. But you got to be willing to go get your freedom. Check this out. You can go ahead and play it. Hebrews 4:12, because it trips me out. He did all this with a dull knife. But what do we have? Hebrews 4:12 says this. For the word of God is living and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrows. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So we ain't working with a dull knife. We got the word of God. And this job is sharper than any two-edged sword. And this job is to go inside you and cut you open. So you can look at your thoughts and your will and your emotions and line it up to God. So when my eyes are tripping, I can do what Job says. I will make a covenant with my eyes and I won't look lustfully on a young woman. Yeah. When my tongue is tripping, I want to lie. I can turn to the book of Proverbs and say, put away from you a deceitful mouth. And put away from you perverse lips. When my hand is tripping, I can go to the Bible and it says this, that if Christ died with the basic principles of the world, then why are you following them? Do not touch, do not taste, and do not handle. When my hands want to touch something, they ain't got no business touching. When my feet want to go somewhere, they ain't got no business going, y'all. Ponder the path of your feet. Let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your feet from evil. But all this, my eyes, my hand, my feet, all come from my heart. Because none of that, I don't touch nothing, I don't go nowhere, and I don't see nothing unless my heart want to do it first. So I say this to say all this, and what Jesus says, that we can't take our secret sins and our favorite sins to heaven with us. We all have struggles. Don't get it twisted. But Jesus wants to look at the big picture and get past your struggles. He offers freedom. That's what he died for, to give us freedom and deliverance from the devil. My last illustration, when people have cancer, if they're able to have surgery, what do? To stop it from spreading, they cut it out. Sin wants to spread in your life. It just wants to affect your eyes. It wants to move to your hands. It wants to move to your feet. It wants to have you to the point that you have no power and you're under its control. But we got to treat it like cancer and let God begin to cut it out through his word. Amen. Can we give God a praise in this place? Can we give God a praise in this place for being worthy, for being good, for being kind, for being merciful? And we love you, oh God. So I stand here today. I don't know what you're standing in either, but I know God is real. I know God loves you, he cares for you, and he wants the best for you. If you say, look here, I'm not going in 2019 like I did 18. 18 tore me down. I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. It felt like all year. Something was always weighing me down. It's because we put things in God's spot. And we put things in God's spot, it won't never turn out how we think it should. It's a spot in our hearts. God wants us to have nice things. Nothing wrong with having nothing nice. Nothing wrong with having nice jobs and nice houses and nice cars and relationships. Nothing wrong with none of that stuff. But the problem is we put it way up here. And we give God the bottom of the barrel. And he like, how's it going to work when I ain't in it? How do you expect you're not getting the results you want because I'm not in the midst of it? So if you need to be saved, let today be your day. If you say, you know what, I need to give my life to Christ. I need to make it up in my mind that I need a relationship with Christ. I need to be saved from my sins. I want to be free from my sins. Jesus died. He paid it out for us to be free. But maybe you are saved and you're just looking for a church home. Let today be your day. We would love to have you here. We would love to love on you, to pastor you, to speak into your life, to pray with you and for you. That's what God called us here to do. Thank God. Hallelujah. Everybody get excited for this. God said this, that he's excited over one. Amen. Not the 99 that was there. He's excited over one. If you heard God speak today, don't let 2018 close. Let it end on a high note. Let it go. Let you go in with momentum. If you're feeling God's voice, if you heard God's voice today, let today be your day. Say, I need to be saved. I need to cover. I need somebody praying for me. I need somebody loving on me. That's what we are here for. That's what God has called us to do. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, bless you. Thank God for praying. I really just people in here shouting and jumping because I know the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. Y'all look a little too long for me. God is moving mightily. And we thank God for it. Anybody else, you need to cut it. 2018, you need to, you're not going in 19 like that. You need to cut it. Anybody else? This is what we're here for. To produce change. I want to see what God did in my life. I want to see him doing in your life. Because I know he can. He did it for me. And who am I? Who am I? I didn't deserve it, but his love, his grace, his mercy did it.
That's it.
If you need to be saved or you need a church home, you need a pastor, you need a first lady that loves you, that prays for you. She talked about me, she's praying too. She loves her ladies. And that's what we got to do, and I love my fellas. We love y'all. It's not a game for us. So if you know you need to be saved, don't let the enemy keep you in your seat. Don't let the enemy have his way with your mind. Let today be your day. Go into the next year with momentum. Allow God to have his way in your life. Jesus is trying to help you, and he loves you. And y'all know me, I don't stretch this out, and I ain't trying to scare you into hell. I don't play those games. But I know Jesus is real. He want to touch you, and he want to do something in your life. So if you want to be saved, if you want to join, you want to be baptized, or whatever the case may be, let today be your day. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. Anybody else? You know, y'all want the last call for alcohol? No. Don't let the last call for altar call get you. Anybody else? I feel God tugging. That's the reason I'm holding on a little bit. I feel God tugging. If God tugging you, don't play with me. I feel him tugging you. I feel it. That's why I feel him tugging you. And don't be scared. And if you don't, you just want to talk to us after service. Say, you know what? I just didn't feel comfortable walking down. But yeah, I do. And I need to be saved. I want to join. That's fine. Just come to us and talk to us. It ain't that deep. But we just love you. We want God's best for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give God a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. We have three people that all want to join today. Amen. Amen. How y'all standing your feet? Give God some praise in this place. God is good. God is kind. God is merciful. Yeah. We'll go ahead and pray real quick for our new members and for everyone here real quick. We'll go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, O God, for this day. We thank you, Father God, for you having your way from the praise and worship, O God, to the praise, O God, even into your word. I thank you, Father God, for touching the hearts and the mind of your people, Father God. I thank you, O God, for these ladies, Father God, for them hearing your voice. The Bible says, when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart, O God. So I thank you, O God, they chose to follow your voice today, Father God. So I pray right now you bless them in the name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you, O God, they have started the process of cutting things out of their life, O God. Cutting things that mean them no good, oh God, cutting strings and cutting ties with the world, Father God. You are beginning a cutting process in them, Father God. And I bless them right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, oh God. You have your way in their lives, Father God. Even if they didn't make a decision today, Father God, you were still touching their hearts and their minds, oh God. You beginning to open up your word to them, Father God. And I pray right now you begin to pierce them through your word, oh God. Your two-edged sword, oh God, that is sharp, which is the word of God, that you have your way in every person's life today, Father God. I thank you, oh God, that you are magnificent. I thank you, oh God, that we are going into 2019 with a bang, Father God. And we're going, oh God, in it faithful, oh God, believing that you can do anything and everything, oh God, that you are, that with you, oh God, all things are possible. We believe in it. We stand on it right now, Father God. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 I think she's telling y'all, make sure y'all fill out your cards. Yeah. Bless your name. Thank you. Make sure you fill out your cards. I should get you one. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Ooh, that much. Yeah, we're hugging church. We hug and we love. Amen. Amen. Praise God. This time, we're going to get ready to do our tithes and our offering. Amen.
Amen.
So it is time to give. It is time to give our tithes and offering. You should have already had an envelope. If you don't have an envelope, please raise your hands. One of our ushers will grab you one if you didn't get one. Also, if you want to give through a Cash App, you can. $NewCreation2018 is a way also you can give as well. And if you're just using your debit card, you can see Sharday.